Well, are you glad you're here? My son told me a while ago, he said, every time you preach a long time. He said, it probably seemed, I don't mean to embarrass him, but he said, it probably seems short to you, but it don't to us. Don't you love it when somebody just tells you how it is? There ain't no beating around the bush. No, nothing else. I mean, just, this is the way I feel about it. And, that's all right. One thing about it, when they tell you like that, you don't have a question about it, do you? You know exactly how they feel. Well, aren't you glad for God? Glad to be here. I miss our pastor, but tell Sister Melissa I thoroughly enjoyed what she had to say to us this morning. It was very good. And enjoyed Sunday school class this morning on the short notice that she had this morning. I'm glad that that's funny. I, you know what? You won't surprise me very often, okay? I've had the pastor call me before. He called me one time on, what was it, Saturday night or Sunday morning? I can't remember. He might have called me Sunday morning. He called me and said, man, I am bad sick. I need you to preach for me this morning. And, yeah, how you like that one? But you see, when I was young, and I still think I'm kind of young, but when I was real young and hadn't been preaching very long, I remember standing in service and listening to my pastor and him preaching and just tearing it up, you know, and him just walk over and hand you the microphone and say, here, you preach a while on that. And, boy, you talk about making you stutter around. And but you know what? I learned to be ready. For you never knew when that was going to happen, what night, what day, what service you might be handed a microphone. And so that's good for you to be on the ready, you know. Don't worry, I won't hand you a microphone this morning. I'm greedy now. And when I get to preaching, I don't think about letting anybody else have it, but I'm just kidding. Praise God. The book of Acts chapter 2. I want to put you in a setting of scripture that all of us are familiar with. And I'm a visual person, okay? When I read whatever kind of book I'm reading, which I don't read very often anymore, but I used to when I was a kid, okay? I used to read Hardy Boys. Anybody ever heard of that? Surely somebody in here is as old as I am. Hardy Boys. I used to read those. I had probably almost the whole collection of them. I had some Nancy Drew mystery books. I had a bunch of books. But when they were standing on the edge of a cliff fixing to fall off, man, I'm right there fixing to fall off the cliff with them, you know. When I read, I'm visual. And so, I'm the same way with the Word of God. If I can get a picture of it in my head, it helps me. If I can visualize where these people are and what's going on and all of this, and we've been going studying the book of Ezekiel. And so sometimes when we're studying, I'll pull it up on my phone and I'll look at the picture of the temple. Because when I look at that picture and we read about what we're talking about, you know, it is okay. That just helps me, okay? May not do a thing for you, but it does me. So the setting of scripture here is Jesus has gone away. Now you understand for 3 years he's been here preaching. Well, he's been here longer than 3 years. But for 3 years he has been teaching them, performing miracles everywhere he went. He's been doing all these things. And everybody liked him. Then they crucified him, and he died. And his disciples probably felt the lowest that they had in a long time because Jesus had died. But then in 3 days, their hope became a reality because he rose from the grave. So now they're excited again, and then all of a sudden Jesus is gone because he's gone back to be with the Father. Jesus gave them a promise. He said, you go wait for the promise of the Father. And you tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. So our setting of scripture is, after the disciples are told this, they went to the upper room where they carried on some business that needed to be taken care of. And then they tarried. And so the Bible tells them about the day of Pentecost. I don't need to read it to you. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were in one place, one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. They were all filled. This is the livelihood of the Pentecostal church. Am I right? This is what made the difference in the Pentecostal movement and anything else there was. Because we believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. Well, we did. Do we still? Did you already go to sleep on me? Man. Son, I'm going to have to preach faster, ain't I? Especially after lunch. So, here all these people are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There comes people around from the outside. Word began to spread, and they came and they heard every man in their own tongue, and they're like, what in the world is going on? What is happening here? That we can understand these Jews speaking in our language. Others began to say, oh, these men are drunk. They're full of new wine. We're going to start with verse 15 and we're going to read a few verses here. But Peter stood up and he said, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaidens, I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. Sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Now let me tell you, everybody knew who that was. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. We're going to skip down. You can read all this later if you want to read it all, or we can read it all now and be here a while. Whichever y'all want to do. Verse 36 said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus who ye crucified both Lord and Christ. And it said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And many, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. After we had a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, after we had a great move of God, the pastor always laughs and he says it's common in Pentecostal churches. We say, man, we had a good service. We didn't have any preaching. And we all know what we're saying. The power of God moved and the Spirit of the Lord moved and nobody preached. But this is the day of Pentecost. They've had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And then Peter got up and preached. I can go through here, I know, and I can't do real good because I'm not real smart. Y'all might think I am, but I got you fooled because I'm not. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. I'm not the smartest person there is. I'm not very, most of my lessons are hard knocks that I learned in life. But I can't, you know, and you're going to think I'm crazy and I hope you don't, this don't make you fall out with me. But I don't know how to write out a layout of sermon. I don't know how to write it all down on paper and make it, you know, I don't know how to do that. I never did learn that. I know I went to school, I graduated with a 4.0, but I still never figured out how to make out a diagram of a message. I don't have a clue how to do that. And hopefully that don't make you just want to get up and walk out today, okay? But I don't know how to do that. All I know is how to read what God gives me and get up and depend on Him and make a sermon. I don't write it out on paper. I can't do that. Number one, I can't keep up with it. Okay? I can't read that fast. But I'll tell you what I do know. There is a call from God to preach His Word. So I'm not going to make it anything outlandish. I'm not going to make it a beautiful message. But I do know how to preach to you. The most important thing there is. And that's the very same message that the Apostle Peter wrote and that he preached that day was that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he rose again that me and you might have a chance at life. Bar none, that's the greatest message that can be preached from the Word of God. I understand it's not the only message. I understand it's not the only thing that can be preached. But you see, when I grew up, what I learned about was how you could dress. And what you could do. And what you couldn't do. When I quit going to church many years ago, okay? Y'all don't fall out with me. I hope y'all don't think bad about me. But if you do, you just do. That's alright. Me and God know who each other is. When I quit going to church years ago because I was sick of it. I was tired of the garbage. I was tired of all the stuff. And I walked away. A man that used to be my pastor at one point, he came and he sat down with me. And he said, Rodney, you know what your problem is? I said, well, evidently not, but you must. I was a smart aleck, you know. I can be if I want to be. And he said, your problem is you never fell in love with Jesus. And I looked at that man and I said, JR, I have listened to you preach for years. This is exactly what I told him. I've listened to you for years. I've been to revivals you preached. I've sat under you when you was a pastor. And never one time in all those years have I ever heard you preach that message. I have heard you preach what you can do and what you can't do. But you have very seldom ever preached about the cross of Jesus Christ. So don't come to me now and tell me that I didn't fall in love with Jesus. I was pretty rude, wasn't I? That's all right. He got the point anyway. And I didn't care. So for a while, I did not go to church. In that period of time, you don't want to know that story. I did not go to church for a long time. I wouldn't have nothing to do with God. Matter of fact, I didn't care if God ever talked to me. I did not even want God to talk to me. He could never touch me again, and I did not care. And I would tell him, God, I don't even want you to bother me. Just leave me alone. Don't mess with me. I met Melanie, and I told her, when we met and when we started talking and we started dating, I said, two things I want to tell you. Two things I want you to get straight. One of them is, don't ever ask me to go to church, because I'm not going to go. And the second thing is, don't ever think about us getting married, because it ain't happening. One Sunday morning, she said, I'm going to go to church this morning. Do you want to go? And somewhere in my ignorance or something, I said, okay, I'll go with you. I thought it was safe, you see. I'd been taught that the only people going to church was the people that I went to church with. So I thought I was safe to go anywhere else. That makes sense. Probably don't make a lot of sense to y'all. It would to the pastor if he is here, because he understands what I'm talking about. So I went to church. And I sat on the second or the next to the last seat from the back. And I remember Melanie's aunt getting up to sing. And when she began to sing, the Spirit of the Lord reached back there where I was and touched my heart. I didn't flatten out on the floor. I didn't even go to the altar. But the Spirit of the Lord let me know that I still care about you. I died on the cross for you and your sins. So it didn't matter what anybody else said. It doesn't matter to me what my family says and what my family believes. It doesn't matter if they think I'm saved or not saved. I don't care. I have a relationship with God because my Savior gave His life, paid the ultimate price for my sin. And He saved me and cleansed me from my sins. And then He rose from that grave that I could live. And I could have life. There is no greater message than that right there. Setting in somewhere to eat. A man sat down at the table close to where I was. Where we were sitting, eating breakfast. And he said, he asked the waitress, he said, do you know where Shawnee Country Club is? And she said, no, but I'll go find out. I know where Shawnee Country Club is. So you know what I did? I said, hey, sir, I can tell you how to get there. I gave him directions. Never thought nothing else about it. We got up to leave. I said, where are you from? And he told me where he was from, and I talked to him for a minute. Went right on our way. Here I carry the greatest thing there is in life. And I pass hundreds of people a day. And how easy is it for me to tell them about the greatest thing that I've ever found in my life? It's easy for me to greet them and talk to them about. I can talk to you about work till I pass out. I can talk to you about a lot of things. Maybe not as many as you, but I can talk about a lot of things. But now I've found the greatest story that's ever been told. You can ask me what's my favorite kind of shoes, and I'll tell you. You can ask me if you start talking about shoes or pants or boots or tools, I'll tell you without question what I think is the best kind of tools there are. When it comes to miter saws, I'll tell you what I think's the best. When it comes to hammer drills, I have a favorite. Because it's worked for me. All of these things. But I have trouble sometimes. When I have the greatest thing there is. That will change people's lives. And I have a hard time and stutter around. And can't hardly tell people about Jesus Christ. But it is the greatest that has ever happened. If you don't believe me, you go back and read. We was talking this morning in Sunday school class about the priest and what they had to do to sacrifice. Go back and read the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and find out what the law was. If you sinned this, you had to bring a certain sacrifice. It all had to be without spot or blemish. It all had to be just so and so perfect. And now all we have to do is come to an altar or make an altar and ask Jesus Christ into our heart. And He cleanses us from our sins. That's all we have to do now. The greatest sacrifice that was ever made for mankind was made by Jesus Christ. And He cleanses us from our sins. The Bible said, while ye were yet sinners. While ye were sinners. I look around today, there's probably nobody in here outdone me in sin. There could nobody in here probably done worse things than I've done in sin. But you see, He has cleansed me. And if you want to know what they are, you can go ask God. Because I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to get up here and tell you about what all I did in sin. Because you see, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, the Bible said as far as the east is from the west, that's how far my sins. He forgot all about them. He don't even remember them anymore. He has forgiven me. He took me and washed me in His blood. And when I came up, I was white as the driven snow. And you can look at me, I know good and well some of you were sinners too. All of you were sinners. All of you have sinned. And I have sinned. But He washed us. In His blood. And now I'm saved. Stand with me today. I know I preach a long time.